Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, or Michelle Knezoval, here with us on the program. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, the Vols, the Preds, everything on the table, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 9:30 as well, so make sure you're tuned in for that. Already got a little bit of a head start on that in the last segment in Call Your Shot Friday, but officially coming up at 9:30.
Yeah.
Yep.
People texting me telling me not to utilize certain products at certain times of the day.
And there is that.
Old Joe, brain, okay? Hashtag old brain.
Joe, one of the games we'll get to in Pigskin Pick'em is Tennessee and UT Martin, which apparently a line does not exist for, so I had to make one. So we'll see how that goes coming up here in just a few minutes. But I think everybody would expect and hope, and the strong likelihood is, that Tennessee handles UT Martin rather easily and rather convincingly in this game coming up on Saturday at Neyland Stadium. But beyond that game, there are other games that could affect the Tennessee Volunteers that take place in what I think has the chance to be a pretty good weekend in college football. And it really kind of bounces around to different conferences. You've got Ole Miss taking on LSU in the SEC. Ole Miss is undefeated in the SEC West, going on the road to Tiger Stadium to take on Brian Kelly and the Tigers. But Syracuse taking on Clemson in the ACC, a matchup of undefeated teams there. You've got TCU Kansas State in the Big 12, TCU undefeated in the Big 12, and then a big matchup in the Pac-12 as well at 2:30. UCLA taking on Oregon. Oregon playing some good football since they got absolutely housed by Georgia in the first game of the year. They're 5-1. And UCLA, top 10 in the country, number 9, undefeated at 6-0. So a big one there. Lots of different games on Saturday that could affect the college football playoff picture and ultimately maybe affect where Tennessee finishes in the college football playoff picture.
Yeah, and like I think TCU is going to take an L, you know, whether it's this week or not. I think UCLA is going to take an L, but you know, for example, let's play out UCLA winning at Oregon. Oregon has, you know, ascended, has played very well. That would be a very good win for UCLA. It would put them at 7-0. And by the way, when do the first playoff rankings come out? Is it next week?
We got to be getting close. I don't know. It may be next week, but it's got to be close.
Yeah, because like you said earlier, Tennessee would be number one right now. Yeah, I don't think it would be close. I mean, because again, they go by actual numbers, they go by actual metrics, and Tennessee would be number one. But UCLA with that win would be a really good profile. If UCLA were to take that through, I mean, even if you just have like, let's say UCLA undefeated, and you have like USC with the one loss at Utah, which is big. The USC losing at Utah is big because you were possibly looking at USC-UCLA in an undefeated matchup, and possibly it's like how do you dismiss an undefeated Pac-12 team? But even like UCLA being undefeated and then like losing a game and USC looks awesome in that game, they could be a one-loss team that could have a case.
Yeah.
So you want carnage there. You want carnage in the Big 12, which I think is going to happen. I think there's the Big 12 is pretty good. I think there's a lot of good teams in the Big 12, and I think ultimately they're going to eliminate themselves. If there's one game to root for tomorrow, to me, it's Syracuse, and it's an unlikely thing. It's at Clemson.
They're two touchdown favorites in the game.
I mean, it's a great story at Syracuse. I think Syracuse is in a different topic, but a great example of hanging in with a coach who does some good things. Then you have a dip, and there was a lot of talk about Dino Babers, but he's got a good thing going there. They essentially run Tennessee's offense too, not as well as Tennessee does, but if they could somehow get that win, I think you'd feel great as a Tennessee fan, because I don't think Syracuse is going to carry that all the way through the end. And any one loss, if you're going to me comparing yourself to one loss team to anybody in the ACC at the end of the year, you're in great shape. I think that's the same. I think that's also true if you're comparing yourself to one loss Michigan. But if there's another kind of, you know, deep cut game, root for Minnesota to go beat Penn State, because I don't think Penn State's really that good. I think they're going to get housed at home by Ohio State next week. But if you diminish that win for Michigan, they have really no wins of consequence right now.
Tell PJ Fleck, get limbered up, stretched out, as he's, you know, taking off on a dead sprint across the field. ready to row the boat. Get those people fired up in Minnesota. Play some good football tomorrow.
Row it, Tennessee fan. Yeah. So there's a lot, and it's kind of fun, right? I mean, when's the last time, well, in the playoff era?
Never.
Never. I mean, I guess you go back 2016, you could say it's maybe after the win over Georgia, you started looking around at stuff, but I don't know.
Still had Alabama coming up.
You still had to go to Texas A&M, which you lost, and then we know what happened with the Bama game. So.
Yes, we did. Yeah,
this is really the first time Tennessee fans have been able to enjoy this stuff. Now, look, once this thing goes to 12, and by the way, it's still not off the table yet that 2024 could see that.
Yep.
I think this will be a regular thing, but I don't know that you could look at this year in a four-team format and just expect this to be happening year after year. So enjoy it right now.
Well, and an underrated game that on the surface you may not think has much to do with the playoff mix, but I think ultimately could. You got Texas and Oklahoma State. I still think Oklahoma State might be the best team in the Big 12, but Texas is the favorite on the road heading into Oklahoma State.
Six-point favorite.
And, you know, Oklahoma State had that game in hand last week against TCU. And then, you know, credit to TCU, they came storming back. I also think Oklahoma State did some things to help them storm back in that game. But, you know, if you get, you know, Texas already has two losses. If Oklahoma State loses to Texas, well, they're out of the college football playoff discussion at that point.
Yeah.
So a couple of big games in the Big 12 tomorrow.
That's a little bit surprising to me that Texas would be almost a touchdown favorite on the road to Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
I know Texas has looked better, but although last week they were very lucky to beat Iowa State, like dropped touchdown by Iowa State, lucky to beat Iowa State.
Yeah. And I guess if you really want to get technical, you could be a big Iowa Hawkeyes fan tomorrow if you're Tennessee. I would advise you not to watch any of that game because Iowa will be required to play offense in that game, but they're a 30-point underdog at Ohio State. So there you go.
You got UT Martin in Tennessee on SEC Network at 11 a.m. I would put your callback channel at Syracuse Clemson.
Yes.
I think there's at least some possibility there. Yeah, Iowa's bad.
Hey, they can play somewhat, kind of, sort of, maybe sometimes defense in Iowa.
They do, but they're on the road. And
they have the worst offense of all time.
Yeah, they're just so bad. They're very bad. So I don't think that one will be interesting, but sure. Iowa has pulled off some shockers over Ohio State in recent years, including the year they put like 55 on that Urban team out of nowhere. Like what? But that was at home, night game. This is going to be gross.
Will from Nashville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Joe, you know, I went to Vanderbilt, huge fan, but my daughter's at TCU, which has been fun this year. I followed them closely and am now officially a fan. I hate it, but I agree they'll take a loss. Not sure if it's this weekend or at Texas. Maybe both. Offense is great, but their D is not. This is from Will from Nashville on the text line.
That's the Big 12, baby. That's the Big 12.
That's how they go.
It's been, I mean, Sonny Dykes, it's a really good story. I mean, he's in that discussion with Heupel and Babers and a few others in the Coach of the Year front. I think Heupel would be the leader right now. But, yeah. You know, they get rid of Gary Patterson, who did incredible work there, really. And it's just you get to a certain point, you know, and I think sometimes you just need a change. But they're not bad.
It is funny how I'm making fun of the Big 12 about, you know, offense being good, defense not being great, and there's just a 52-49 Tennessee-Alabama game over the weekend.
Yes. Yeah, the Big 12 is coming to the SEC.
It is.
So it's coming early. Yeah, did you see the Saban, their little clip from his coach's show?
How they had no clue what an I formation was?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Like, a couple of things he said in that was almost like, basically, like, admitting, like, we just didn't know how to handle what Heupel was doing to us, yeah. You know? Which is interesting, to say the least.
Well, it makes you feel great about Heupel. I know the pessimist would say, like, Nick Saban, he's lost his fastball, baby. Don't know what he's doing out there. But he did, you know, he's on the coach's show. And he's talking about, you know, basically how college football has changed.
Yeah. Yes.
He's like, well, Tennessee lined up in what looked like an I formation. Players had no clue what to do out there. I was like, yeah. It's a tough one.
That's the thing. I mean, if you go back in different eras of college football, boy. I mean, if you're old enough to remember, like, the late 70s, which I barely am, like, it was, like, six passes a game. Oh God.
And then you fast forward to that Tennessee-Bama game the other night.
Right. It's like, this is not the same sport at all. But Nick's right. It is for the better, even if he hates it. But that's the thing. Alabama has embraced that, too. I mean, they've been in – 10 years ago, it was still run the ball, play D, and they've been – chasing championships with the philosophy of, like, offense is what matters more.
Speaking of Nick Saban, one of his go-to sayings is rat poison. Could there be a little rat poison that infiltrates the mind of Josh Heupel as they head into this game tomorrow against UT Martin. We'll get into that coming up next. Make sure you tune in for the NFL pregame this Sunday, live from Sunny's Patio Pub and Refuge, located at 1322 6th Avenue North in Germantown. Join Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the Titans taking on the Indianapolis Colts. The NFL pregame brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Join me this Saturday at Party Foul in Cool Springs for the SEC Game of the Week. We got Ole Miss LSU presented by BettingHero.com, and they're going to help you enjoy your betting experience on mobile. And if you sign up, they might even buy you a beer. The fun all starts at 2:30 this Saturday.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 9:30. Right now, talking Vols. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, I threw it out there, Joe. Could there be some rat poison infiltrating the Tennessee locker room this week? Now, quite frankly, as far as the game itself is concerned tomorrow, I think there could be all the rat poison in the world, and they could still win by many points.
Tomorrow. Literal rat poison. Yeah. Like a little bit of nausea, like, but still win.
Like, honestly, if you just get in trouble tomorrow, there. All right, we're going to run Jalen Hyatt on a go route, and that's what we're going to do. Somebody go run with him. I don't think UT Martin has many guys that can run with Jalen Hyatt. So I don't worry about that from the game tomorrow standpoint, but you brought up an interesting question that I am interested in from the standpoint of Hendon Hooker winning the Heisman Trophy very much on the table right now. Depending on who you ask, he's the favorite. I think the sports books technically still have C.J. Stroud as the favorite. But yeah, Hendon Hooker, depending on who you ask, right now is the Heisman favorite. And, you know, if you leave him in the game tomorrow the whole time, and there's no telling how many numbers that he could put up. I do wonder if you're Josh Heupel, do you leave him in the game maybe to boost those numbers up a little bit? Are you trying to get him out of there as quick as humanly possible because you don't want to get him hurt before Kentucky and Georgia coming up the next 2 weeks on the schedule? We have already seen Cedric Tillman get hurt in a game that Cedric Tillman probably didn't need to be playing in at that point, so I wonder how that factors in the decision as well. How they handle Hendon Hooker tomorrow, if things go according to plan for Tennessee, I think will be really interesting. Like, Joe Milton's getting in there at some point, but I just wonder how quickly that'll be.
Yeah, and on the I would say right now that the sportsbook can say whatever they want, but the sentiment of voters is what matters. And right, if the Heisman was voted on today, he would win. Hendon Hooker would win. And it's a really interesting question. One of my answers to this would be, well, first of all, I think if you're Josh Heupel, I mean, you have to, obviously, you have to think of the interest of the team over the interest of the individual. Of course, everybody would love to see, everybody who's a Tennessee fan or who's not a Tennessee hater lives in the state, but I like to see Hendon Hooker win the Heisman, but it's not nearly as important as their team goals. So one thing that I would definitely be saying to him, and I think he should be thinking, is don't run.
Yes.
Do not run ever.
Not one time tomorrow.
Like, if you see a totally clear side of the field and you can just get to the sideline, fine. But even if you just slide and then you get a late hit on you, like you said, Tillman gets hurt in the Akron game, and there were a couple questionable hits on Hooker as well in that Akron game.
Yep.
It was a little bit weird. And you just don't want to get in that situation. If look, I've been a Joe Milton proponent for a long time this year, but Tennessee's not winning at Georgia with Joe Milton at quarterback. They're only winning at Georgia possibly if Hendon Hooker's quarterback. And frankly, I mean, they could lose to Kentucky a lot easier with Milton. You can't,
sure,
you can't mess with this. So don't run. But I think you probably look at it in your head if your hype will, like, give him a half. So if he gets 200-plus yards passing and 3 touchdowns and a half, I mean, it's not like you're loading up his numbers. But honestly, if you look at his numbers, he's already – like, the numbers aren't going to win him the Heisman. Like, you want to have numbers that match up. It's the moments.
Yeah.
And he's had one. And he's got a chance at another one coming up soon.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think this game's going to have much of an impact on the Heisman. Like you said, you want the numbers – to be there and to be comparable. But everybody's going to remember what Hendon Hooker did against Alabama. You've got a, you know, a night game against Kentucky coming up. You've got a Georgia game coming up as well that almost every eyeball is going to be on watching college football. So there's another opportunity for him to come up and play well then. And, you know, honestly, like, I think it's safe to say at this point, you know, Tennessee doesn't have to go 12-0 for Hendon Hooker to win the Heisman either. Now, would it help? For sure, it would. But, you know, you just got to be in the conversation. And I think Tennessee's going to be in the conversation as a team as they move forward here. So if I'm Josh Heupel, I'm probably planning on playing him a half tomorrow. I mean, look, if things don't go well, then you'll have to react accordingly. But I think Tennessee's going to be up by pretty much as much as they want to be up by tomorrow. Play him for a half and get him out. Like, if I'm a Tennessee fan, get him out as quickly as possible. That's kind of my thought on the game.
Yeah, like the one, you know, the one area where he's right there with C.J. Stroud is they're top two in the country in passing. Like, Hooker's yards per game is 24th. So yep. It's already not, you know, there's just some video game numbers that are going on out there. Passing efficiency, it's Stroud 1 at 207.57. Hooker, a pretty distant second at 187.72. It's 24 TDs and three picks for Stroud, less yards than Hooker. But again, that's also like a product of blowouts. I mean, they're not going to stupidly have him out there too long either. And then Hooker's got, of course, the 15 touchdowns and the one pick. So if you have an efficient half, even if it's not gaudy numbers, an efficient half, and you keep that number high, you know, because like, at the end, when the voters may be comparing things, look, man, if Tennessee's unbeaten and Hooker only does anything but plays well from here to there, he's going to win it.
Well, here's the other thing. And I know that Heupel has been asked about this week, the status of Cedric Tillman. I don't care if Cedric Tillman's 100%.
I know.
He does not need to step on the field tomorrow against UT Martin.
Don't do it. They won't. There's no way they'll do it.
No. And he's been like, you know, we'll just see. We'll see what his progress looks like this week. He's had a good week out there, but we'll see what happens. Like, you've got to be if you're Josh Heupel. There's no chance Cedric Tillman's playing in this game.
Holiday, Callaway, Squirrel, Keaton. See if you can get Keaton.
I'm not even saying early in the game, throw the ball to Brew McCoy and Jalen Hyatt.
Yeah.
And get out to a lead and then get them out of there too. And that should be the thought process tomorrow.
If you want to talk about individual stuff, was it ESPN? Whoever, somebody's midseason, you know.
ESPN.
Hyatt as a
All-American.
First team All-American. So that's on the table too. Which is going to happen when you have a 5-touchdown game against Alabama, which never happens.
That will help. Will from Nashville says, every member of Tennessee's team could ingest rat poison, and they'll still win by 50 this weekend.
Yeah.
It could be.
I mean, it depends on the dosage, but yes. we need to talk milligrams on that, you know.
Jeff on the text line says, keeping Hooker in for stat packing is the wrong move. Team first, BCS is the goal.
Yeah, 1998.
If voters care so much about stats, then they likely can't see the big picture and maybe shouldn't be voting. I agree with a lot of what he said there other than the BCS being the goal.
Yeah. But to be clear, like, no one is saying this game, what do his stats look like? It's just it's the accumulation of stats, you know?
Right.
It's the idea of just accumulating
stats do matter.
Like, look, if you could get him, like, four more TDs this week and a half, a couple hundred yards, so he's at 19-1 and he's sitting there at, you know, 20 or, you know, past 2,000 yards at this point.
However
season,
many rushing touchdowns he's got, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Don't do that.
Don't add to that total.
Yeah, don't add to that total. Yeah, don't
just hand the ball off.
Don't. Yeah, exactly.
But you know, I know what's going to happen. He's going to break off for like 3 or 4 tomorrow, and the whole time he's running, I'm gonna be like, "Please get down, please get down, please get down," and he never gets down. Ever.
Yeah. By the way, there was a roughing the passer call last night at Virginia Georgia Tech game, which was like totally NFL caliber. Yeah. Like, it was barely touched the guy, and I'm like, okay, that looks like the NFL. Also, I hope Bryce Young's not watching that. What about the Bryce Young where he slid and he got hit? Like,
yeah.
It's hard to pull up sometimes, but how often does that get called? It always gets called.
Yeah. So now you're on
Bama got cheated.
Now you're on the Bama
yep.
got hosed the, train yep, over
the,
here.
The ref,
Joe has a Bama burner.
The refs were wearing orange, clearly.
Came around a long way this week.
I will
Biggest
say.
Biggest Vol homer out there to now. Yelling about the ref doing the fist pump after the touchdown signal.
Oh, my God. Just calling balls and strikes over here, you know? I mean, I will say that Alabama, like, if I was Nick Saban, I would be furious just about the lack of protection of my quarterback.
Yeah.
And I guarantee he is.
Oh, he sent some things in the league, sent some plays.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting to hear back. What do they say when they reply back. Like, hey, yeah, we missed that one. So, sorry. We'll try to do better.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Like admission of, yeah, it does nothing for you, but then you can say that later or, yeah. You know. Not that it typically coaches keep that to themselves, but every once in a while one of those will slip out, yeah. Or it'll slip out kind of back channels, and you know you'll find out that the Big Ten, or Big Ten, the SEC, because I'm thinking Big Ten because this reminds me of this 1 second left thing where the Big Ten said it was accurate,
yeah,
Michigan State game, and it was this big controversy. Spartan Bob on the clock. Remind me to tell you that story sometime.
Please do.
Spartan Bob.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em. Lots of big games to pick this weekend. We'll do that next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Well, a little preview of Pigskin Pick'em. On Superbook, the line is -2.5 for the Tennessee Titans over the Colts this weekend. I'm going to take the Titans -2.5, take them on the money line, Derrick Henry over on rushing, and give me an anytime touchdown by Derrick Henry as well. But Superbook wants to know if you can beat Vegas this season. Superbook Sports gives you the chance every single week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. The reason I love them is because it's no fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting lines for American sports, just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter at my second favorite city in Las Vegas, Superbook. Plus, Superbook features some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So download the Superbook Sportsbook app, or you can visit Superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit Superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rexrode on ESPN 1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rexrode. Lots of big games to get to, but before we do that, Joe Rexrode, let's get a quick standings update in Pigskin Pick'em. Not a great week last week for any of us.
All right, so here's my called shot. Like, Kirk Cousins going to throw four touchdowns for Michigan State. Yes. Seriously, like what is flowing through my brain today?
I don't know.
Let's not delve into that too much.
Yeah.
Okay, Pigskin Pick'em. Speaking of that, speaking of my brain, 2-4, 2 points for me. I suck. 12-24, 12 points. I'm in last. I'm 0-6 on my locks. Nothing works. Shoot me. Robbie, 23-13. Oh, you went 2-4 with 2 points. It makes me feel good at least that you had a crappy week.
I did.
You're only 3-3 in your locks, but you are 23-13 with 26 points. Michelle had the best week, 3-3, no lock, 3 points. None of us got our locks. Maybe I'm dragging you guys down, but Michelle's 19-17, but 4-2 on her locks, which means she's only 3 points behind you at 23 Woo! Points.
Competition's heating up.
Yes, heating up for two people. So, yay.
With that in mind, let's get rolling today on Pigskin Pick'em. Vanderbilt taking on Missouri on the road. Missouri, a 13.5-point favorite in this game. I'll get us rolling. Give me Missouri and make it my lock. I'm going off the top rope, locking down on Missouri. I do wonder, obviously, it's great if you're Vanderbilt not to be playing Alabama, Georgia, or Ole Miss this week. But I do wonder, when you get through a stretch like that and it's been as demoralizing as it's been, how do you respond as a football team? Now, maybe they respond in a big way. I think Vanderbilt will move the ball and they'll score in this game. I just don't have a ton of confidence in Vanderbilt's defense. I think Missouri's playing better. So give me Missouri -13.5, and I'll make it my lock. Michelle, Missouri -13.5 against Vanderbilt.
I've been going back and forth with this one. And if you would have asked me before the season, I definitely would have taken Vanderbilt. But I think Missouri has been a lot better than we thought, especially in the Georgia game. So give me Missouri as
now,
well.
Now, hold on a second.
I know, but it was my call shot. It's okay. It doesn't matter.
Oh, it matters.
Okay, fine. Then I'll switch it.
He's been hanging out with Ryan from Chicago too much.
What are we doing?
But it doesn't mean because I call a prediction, it means that I would place my money on it.
Hedging your bets, man.
My
hedging your
goodness.
Bets.
So are you going Missouri or Vanderbilt?
You know what?
You've talked.
Fine. I'll do Vanderbilt, and I hope they cover that.
There we go. Joe, Missouri and Vanderbilt. Missouri favored by 13.5 in this game.
Don't listen to Robbie. I was actually gonna flip to Vanderbilt because you guys are both going Missouri, but I'll stick with Missouri. If it was more than 14, I feel like they're gonna win by two touchdowns. I think Vanderbilt has a chance to win this game.
I do, too.
For the record. I do. I think they have a chance to win this game, but I think Missouri won by 2 touchdowns, so give me Missouri.
I'm really interested to see what Vandy's response looks like in this game. All right, Tennessee taking on UT Martin tomorrow morning at Neyland Stadium. It's homecoming for the Vols. There's no line on this game, so we made one up. Tennessee minus 49.5 is the line that we've come up with in this game. Michelle, kick us off. Vols minus 49.5.
I'm going to do UT Martin plus 49.5. I think that they'll probably have their starters in for the first half, and then a lot of people rest their legs, get ready for this final push of the season. So I don't think they end up covering that 49.5. So give me UT Martin plus the 49.5.
Joe, on our totally made-up line, Vols minus 49.5 in this game. Who are you taking?
What are you going to do?
Why would I tell you that?
Because I mean nothing. I suck. I just want to do the opposite of what you guys do.
Oh, I'm going Vols.
Okay, UT Martin.
Yes, Joe.
I mean, this is the worst. This is of all the things that I suck at this year, and Pigskin Pick'em, the big line one. Whichever way I go, it goes the other way. So, if the line is this, bet big on the Vols.
Yeah,
is there just not going to be a line?
There's just, I guess, there's not a line in this game. Look, I think Tennessee. You got to think about it this way: like they could score, they could allow 10 points in this game, which they may not do. And you know, you score 63, you're still covering here. Like Tennessee's getting into the 60s if they want to in this game. So give me the Vols, minus the 49.5. The Colts taking on the Titans at Nissan Stadium coming up on Sunday. Big one in the AFC South. Titans favored by 2.5. Joe Rexroad, you're up first in this one. The Titans, minus 2.5.
I want you to feel good, Titans fans, because I got a feeling. I got a feeling the Colts are going to come in here and win this game.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going to go with the Colts, and I'm going to take those 2.5 points. I just feel like just something tells me that this is the formula for them. I do feel like what I've seen from Buckner recently, I think they're going to do a good job on Derrick Henry. The Titans' pass protection issues are really troubling. I think it's going to be an ugly, low-scoring game. I'm going to take the Colts. So guess what's going to happen? The Titans will win by 17.
I don't agree with Jared Stillman on much, but I do agree with him on this. The Colts are terrible. They're not good. The Titans are going to win this game by a touchdown. Give me the Titans. Minus the 2.5. Michelle, the Titans and the Colts. Titans favored by 2.5.
Tennessee, lock.
Yeah. Wow.
Very confident in this one.
Locking down on the Titans. We move to the individual portion of the program. Michelle Knezevic, you're up first. Your first individual selection.
Okay, so I talked about this game earlier on Collier Shot, and I'm going to be consistent on this one. Syracuse-Clemson, big ACC matchup. Both teams undefeated. Syracuse heads to Clemson. Syracuse is a 14-point underdog. I'm taking Syracuse plus the 14. Mm. It's going to be a tough one to win, but I think it'll be closer than 2 touchdowns. So give me Syracuse plus the 14.
Syracuse plus 14 against Clemson. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Well, I just came across this in a previous segment. We were talking about it. I got to jump on this. Texas at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State at home getting 6 against Texas. Give me Oklahoma State. So that means the Longhorns win by 17.
Oklahoma State plus the 6 against Texas. I'll go A&M against South Carolina. A&M's favored by 3 in this game against South Carolina. On the road, you know, I get nervous when I start betting on Texas A&M. But I think they're going to go on the road. I just think talent-wise, they're way better than South Carolina. So give me Texas A&M minus 3. Against South Carolina. Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
You weren't swayed by that sweet Shane Beamer video, huh? With him in the shades and like Mr. Cool Guy?
I've never wanted to beat somebody by more points in my entire life.
It was cringe.
I hope Tennessee beats South Carolina by 105.
You're now officially looking past Kentucky and Georgia to
South Carolina. South Carolina, yeah. Yes.
I love it. Wait, it's me going now?
Yes.
All right. Ole Miss at LSU. LSU minus 2.5. I think LSU is going to win this. I think Ole Miss is totally a home field team, and I think that LSU is going to win this game by about a touchdown. So give me LSU, so Ole Miss will win by 17.
I can't believe what I'm about to do in Pigskin Pick'em here with a couple NFL games coming up.
Uh-oh.
And the first one is this. The New York Football Giants are 3-point underdogs on the road against Jacksonville. The Giants are 5-1. The Jags have been terrible the past few weeks. Give me the Giants plus 3 against the Jags, and the Giants will win outright to improve to 6-1 in this game. I don't really understand why the Giants are not favored in this game, but they're not. So give me the Giants plus 3 against the Jags. Michelle Knezevic, your second individual selection.
Okay, I'm staying with some ACC football this weekend, guys, and I found a little hidden gem here. We got Louisville versus Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Louisville's favored by 2.5, which is a little mind-boggling to me because Louisville sucks.
L's down.
L's down. We love it. Give me Pat Narduzzi and the Pitt Panthers plus the 2.5. I love that pick.
Friend of the show, Pat Narduzzi. See if he can get it done against Louisville
L's
coming
down.
Up this week. Michelle, kick us off with your final individual selection.
Okay, my final selection is, this one is for you, Mr. Robbie Stanley. We've got the Green Bay Packers versus the Washington Commanders.
What a big one.
Give me the Commanders plus the 4.5.
You probably get it. Taylor Heineke, quarterback, taking on this garbage Packers team. Commanders plus 4.5 against the Packers.
That one's for pride.
If that happens, especially if they lose this game, I'm not going to be very happy on Monday.
The Lions have room on the bandwagon.
Listen, last week,
jump on.
The Vols saved you. But this week.
That is true. All right. I'm going to finish off my unbelievable pigskin pick'em here with another NFL game and another New York team.
Wow.
Give me the New York Jets plus 1 against the Broncos. I don't understand how the Jets aren't favored in this game either, but they're not. So give me the Jets plus the 1. Against the Broncos, they're going to win outright. Denver's terrible, and I think the Jets' defense is going to absolutely destroy Russell Wilson and the Denver offense in this game. So, yes, I am betting on both the Giants and the New York Jets to get wins.
I mean, if you get these, then this, there's just no doubt it's just a charm season for you.
The Jets,
you're
plus
delving
the one.
Into interesting territory here, my
I
friend.
Know. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
I mean, Browns at Ravens. Ravens minus 6.5. I think the Ravens are going to blow out the Browns. So, give me the Ravens and make it my lock.
Nailed it.
Sorry, I clicked the wrong button.
That's fine. That's my brain infecting the whole studio. So Browns will win by about 20.
I keep waiting on the Ravens to break out, and they've had some moments this year where they've looked good. I mean, look, they've had two games this year where they've been up by 14 or more.
And 17 on the Bills.
They've lost both of them. So That's a tough one. But I think the Ravens, I think it's a pretty good pick. Ravens minus 6.5. Against the Browns. That does it for today's edition of Pigskin Pick'em. Michelle, Joe, good luck.
Yeah, great. Whatever.
Good luck to Joe because he's too far behind. Dude. Not Robbie. I'm looking to pass him this week.
There we go.
I like that at least there's a nice competition to watch here.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll give our final thoughts on the Titans and the Colts. Look ahead to the NFL weekend, including some trade rumors circulating about for a wide receiver out there that just a couple of years ago the Titans fans adored. We'll get to all that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune into this Sunday's NFL Game of the Week on 94.9 The Fan. This week's game will feature the Seattle Seahawks taking on the LA Chargers at 3:25. NFL Games of the Week brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Also, check out this Sunday following the Titans game, the NFL postgame with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow live from the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway. Postgame show brought to you by Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford. Custom order your new Ford from Two Rivers Ford and Superbook Sports. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Taking our final look at the Titans and the Colts coming up this weekend. So we just wrapped up Pigskin Pick'em. And Joe, you've got a feeling that the Colts come in here and they get a W at Nissan Stadium on the road this weekend.
Yeah. Am I losing it? Am I really for real losing it? I might be.
Well, I mean, it does go back to your Colts love fest that Jared talked about a couple weeks ago.
I guess so. I guess so, right? Maybe I'm a Colts homer. Maybe Indy Ben has been texting so much this week that's influenced me. But I have a feeling. It's just a feeling. I mean, I think you break down this game line by line, and you come away with the Titans are a little bit better team. I agree with you guys that the Colts aren't good. They're not very good. But the quick answer, the quick response out of that is, how good are the Titans?
It's a great question.
How good are the Titans? And I just think they got issues. I think they had issues up front. They got issues with the receiving core. And it's not like these are new topics. I do like – I mean, the one thing I will say is if you get full game of Bud Dupree playing well and now you have Hooker back in the secondary, again, line for line, the Titans should win the game. I just have a feeling that, like, the Colts had all this buildup and Ursay and all the guys, and then they took that humble pie at home. I feel like they're gonna get it done this week and make it a very interesting race the rest of the way in the AFC South. It's just an inkling. And the good thing is, if you're a Titans fan and you listen to our show and you pay attention to us, you should feel great about the Titans' chances now.
Elliot on the text line says, I should have waited until after this segment to place my parlay for tomorrow. Joe picked the same as me in two games.
Ooh.
Damn it. How do y'all feel about Penn State -4.5 at home, taking on Minnesota?
I don't feel good about it, and so you should hit it hard.
Maybe that's the new strategy.
Just wait. That kind of life.
Wait and see what Joe picks at Pickskin Pick'em every week, and just be like, "All right, well, let's go the opposite of that."
I mean, it's getting to that point. I made a 333 winning percentage right now, a solid 12-24.
Have you seen the Elijah Moore stuff coming out of the Jets? Apparently, not very happy with his role thus far as a member of the Jets. Wants to be traded. Did not practice yesterday. Was excused for a quote personal day. And apparently, Robert Saleh this morning told reporters that Elijah Moore won't play on Sunday, but also that the team will not trade him before the November 1st deadline. I do wonder, like, we've heard, you know, teams and coaches say, we're not trading so-and-so before, and then all of a sudden, magically, so-and-so gets traded. You know, I don't think – it's probably not going to happen. It's a second-year guy, and he's a high draft pick, so doesn't make a whole lot of sense to trade him if you're the Jets, but not great in New York Jets land up there with Elijah Moore. Apparently, Corey Davis and Garrett Wilson, just too much for Elijah Moore up there.
Well, and the thing is, if you told me this was going to be a thing before the season, I'd be like, okay. But you expect that for like a typically expected crappy Jets team.
Yeah.
I mean.
They're 4-2.
You're 4-2. You got some momentum going. Like, you know, there's plenty of time in the season and in your career without knowing the ins and outs. That's got to be disappointing for the Jets. There was also a clip of Corey Davis. Did you see this on a podcast?
Mm-mm.
Of course, I won't be able to find it now in time, but Corey Davis was asked about the Titans and about the decision to come to the Jets. And to paraphrase him and almost quote him, he said, they offered me nothing. They gave me no offer and made me feel some type of way about it. So that was kind of interesting. I mean, I guess we kind of knew that, you know, but Corey Davis would look okay right now.
He'd look
but again,
right.
I
wouldn't pay the amount of money they're paying him. But
no,
yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean, in all seriousness, I don't have an issue with what they did with Corey Davis. I have an issue with what they did with A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
That's the mistake. Well, and A.J. Brown and Elijah Moore are best friends, by the way.
Look, we remember in the pre-draft process for Elijah Moore, a lot of Titans fans all over Elijah Moore.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe if you're J-Rob, make a call to the Jets. Who knows?
Or, yeah, see if A.J. will call on your behalf. You know,
yeah,
get,
A.J.
Get in there. Yeah, tell him about how, you know, the Titans are no fun. No fun at all.
Now we got Orlovsky tweeting, like, literally right now, the Packers should move soon to trade for either DJ Moore or Elijah Moore. You have to.
What do you think?
I think anything that could get the offense able to actually move forward on the field would be great. But I don't expect either one of those things to happen.
I mean, they really do need to figure something out there, right?
I'm not kidding you. The Titans-Packers game, which is coming up here in a few weeks on Thursday Night Football, could be a doozy. There could be very little offense in that game until Derrick Henry runs for 125 yards in the second half, because that's apparently what the Packers do. They just give up runs in the second half.
That's the opposite of what the Titans do.
Yeah,
so
I know.
It's like it's the immovable force and the whatever. You know what I'm saying. Terrible.
Unstoppable force.
My brain
immovable
is done.
Object.
Yeah, thank you.
Get Joe some sleep.
God.
I think the Titans are going to win on Sunday. I feel good about it. You know, coming off the bye week, you're at home. You're getting a little bit healthier with Amani Hooker coming back in there, Bud Dupree hopefully back in there. Now, the flip side of that is Indy's getting healthier too. So I am interested to see, you know, with Hines back and with Jonathan Taylor back and with Shaq Leonard back, what does that do for the Colts? But, I mean, they had all three of those guys last time out. Titans did a really good job stopping the run. That's really the big question to me. I do think I'd be stunned if Matt Ryan approaches 58 passing attempts in this game. I think he'll get somewhere in the mid-30s to high-30s, but in the 50s would just be absurd to me. Can the Titans do a similar job on Jonathan Taylor than they did in game one? If they can, I really like their chances to win.
Yeah, on the other side, the Colts did have a bad rush defense game against the Jags. Some of that was Trevor Lawrence, but a lot of it was ATN, you know, busting out for a couple big ones. I don't look at that as all of a sudden the Colts have some big rushing defense problem. And obviously you had problems on those two plays. But what does it look? Does it look more like the first half where all of a sudden Derrick Henry's approaching 100 yards at halftime, or the second half where the Titans know they need to run, they have a lead, the Colts know they need to run, and he doesn't have any room at all?
Joe, real quickly, another tough loss for the Preds last night. They fall 5-3 in Columbus in regulation after leading 3-1 heading into the second period. I said this earlier. I think quite frankly, like the last two third period performances have been flat out embarrassing from the Predators. And it's one thing to let it happen once against the Kings, to let it happen again in the second game, and for the second game in a row, is just inexcusable. I keep saying it, you know, these early season games and how big they are. Like, you got to have some level of response if you're the Predators against Philadelphia. Like, get a lead, hold on to the lead, and there are several guys, both collectively as a team, but individually, they got some guys that need to wake up a little bit. You know, Matt Duchene, I don't think he's been very good so far. Alex Carrier, I think, has struggled a little bit. I mean, you can go up down the list. Nobody's really playing to the top of their level right now for the most part, and they need some guys to kick things into gear and get going for this season, starting tomorrow against Philadelphia.
Yeah, there was a lot I liked about what the Preds were doing last night in the first 34 minutes or so of the game. You got the critical mistake from Forsberg in the offsides, but yep, still looking good. And then the third period was awful, just terrible. And you give credit to Columbus. They were flying around, sure, and they were feeling it. You know, and this happens.
Johnny Gaudreau's good.
Yeah, absolutely. But you've got to have a better response than that. I mean, Chris Mason on the broadcast, you know, is like, someone's got to get mad down there,
yeah,
at one point. And I gotta say, you know, I agree with that. Like, and right now, someone should be mad. Someone should be mad over there. I think tomorrow's an important game, early in the season, but it's an important game.
What do you think of the reverse retro jerseys? I love them. I really do. It's simple. It's not overly complicated. You know, all you did was really go back to the old mustard and change the color scheme a little bit. I like it.
Well, you know how I feel about alternative jerseys.
Yes,
I typically think they're all awesome.
Just love it, Joe.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the cat. You know, that's some good fangs on that cat. Some, you know, I mean, I like that. That's
yep,
cool.
Good fangs on the cat.
I haven't gone through all of them. I know that we have like a ranking of 1 through 32.
Oh yeah.
Did you see that? Where are the Preds ranking that one?
I think they're like 28th, 27th.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about these rankings. They're different for everybody. Like, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I had my own yesterday too. And mine were judged by good, bad, awful, ugly, great. Love it. That's what my thought process was.
And the Preds were great?
They're good. Yeah.
They're good. Yeah. Okay.
Florida's is great. Anyway,
go look at that.
That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Rope. We'll be back Monday morning at 6 o'clock. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Old brain.